can tell by my accent that I'm not from South Texas. Hallelujah. I was born and raised in France, and quite a few years ago, the Lord spoke to me vividly and said, I'm calling you back to the French-speaking people of the world. And it's mind-boggling to me to know that by year 2050, there will be over 1 billion people that will speak French. But here is the thing, it's an unreached people group. When we think unreached people group, we think maybe Pakistan or Saudi Arabia, you know, but the French-speaking world is an unreached people group, and not many people just are reaching out with the true gospel of Jesus, which is a gospel of grace, a gospel of love, but a gospel of power. And so our role is to really not only teach the word, like I said, with simplicity, and I always say, even like a child can understand, because that's how Jesus did it. Amen. But to equip people to do the works of Jesus. I appreciate JC was singing a song about revival. You know, and oftentimes we find ourselves in that place of asking God for revival, when God is waiting on us to stand up, like he said, and start being that revival. And so we've got to be equipped to stop praying, asking God to do something he commanded us to do. Like, for example, I was in Senegal, did a GoTel conference in Senegal, which is, you know, the northwest of Africa, and we had 11 churches that gathered together, which in itself is a huge miracle. In Africa, having 11 churches that are willing to work together, there was such unity, but what I did, equip teaching people about divine healing, empowering people, got them filled with the Holy Ghost, and then we taught them on how to heal the sick, and then we sent them out in the streets. And young people went into knocking on doors, went to the street, went into everywhere and healing people. And it was so simple and so easy. And people would come back with video testimonies of people getting healed. We even had a witch doctor. And to me, I just love that, because when you talk about witch doctors, oftentimes people start shaking in their boots. You know, and in Africa, you know, that witch doctor had a tent right behind our conference center. And I think it was a 4-day conference. On the second day, we started to see unusual stuff happening. And, you know, stuff like that should not have happened. And two people in that conference, one was a lady traveling with me, and somebody else from said, they both had the same dream, that there were snakes going all over the conference hall, and then they realized there was a witch doctor right behind the conference center. And they were like, Audrey, there's a witch doctor. Audrey, what are we going to do? And you know, I said, I'm going to show you what I'm going to do. So God showed me, said, just go and prepare a big bag full of food. Come on. I took two young people with me and one who translated for me. I went to the little tent with the witch doctor, and he was sitting doing his thing with all his little stuff in front of him in that tent. And most people were like, Audrey, it's a witch doctor, we're going to do that. We're all scared and started to go into deep intercession. And I said, no, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do, because my God, you know, all the demons and all the work of devil, they've been stripped. They've been defeated. So I said, I'm going to tell you. I know who my God is. But I said, I'm going to tell you how I'm going to do it. I'm not going to go and blah, 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 blah. No, I'm going to go with the love of God, because the love never fails. And I called somebody from, and I said, can you prepare me a nice dish of the food, the Senegal food? a nice heart. So she made me a big old thing. We bought bread, we bought cakes, we bought fruit. Man, we came loaded. And I went with my two young guys. We went in front of the tent, open, and he's like, blah. And I went, hi, good afternoon. I am here in the name of Jesus Christ, and I'm here to bless you. He looks at me. And so I'm translated. I said, I just want you to, I said, aren't you tired to spend your time there in that little tent with your little thing? Aren't you? Don't you know that God loves you and He's got better for you to do than being stuck in that little tent? I said, God loves you. And then I just said, but I came to bless you. He looks at me like, and I gave him the bag with all the food. And he just started looking in it, and he started smelling it. I can tell. He looks, and I can tell. A little smell, a little smile on his face. We did that. We came back the second day, the day after that. We did the same thing. And just loved on him. Everything stopped. All the, you know, the stuff that, it all stopped. But you know what I loved is that the people that I left behind, the pastors and the young people, they came back and kept ministering to him and telling him the gospel. That is authority. Love is more, is the most powerful force. And those people that are deep in darkness, they don't understand. They are under a master that is using them, abusing them, kicking them out. But once they come in contact with the love of God, that is one way we exercise authority, by bringing the love. And love will dismantle, will paralyze, will expose, will heal anyway. Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. And you know, I believe that that guy, that witch doctor, came in contact with the love of God. And just a few days ago, I got a text from a pastor, or from a young woman there. She told me, she said that one of the pastor went back to talk to the witch doctor, came with gifts to love on him, to share the gospel. And he said, yeah, I remember that white woman that came. But one more importantly, I know he heard about the name of Jesus. Oh. We are those ambassadors everywhere we go. And you might not go to Senegal. You might not go to Africa. You might not go to the other side of the world. But wherever you are, you can be. You can be that ignition of revival in your neighborhood, on your workplace. You are the revival. Amen. You are that ambassador of love and of peace. And you know, from the very beginning, that was God's intention. You know, God created the world and everything in it. But you see, He didn't keep the world to Himself. What God's intention, what He did, you know, we see in Genesis 1, verse 26 through 28, He said, let us make man in our image, in our resemblance, but let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and over all of the earth. Right from the beginning, God's intention was to create a beautiful world, but to entrust that world to men, to you and I. And from the beginning, God gave men all authority over all of the earth. And I like that Genesis 2:15 says that He gave authority to men that men may guard the earth. And the word guard means to protect, to preserve. In another word, right from the beginning, God gave authority to man in order to maintain order on the earth and to restrain evil. But you know what happened. The snake came in. And you know it's amazing that the devil used the snake. The Bible says he was the animal the most... Settled, the most crafty. He didn't come as an elephant. Give me authority. No, he came as a snake. He came by deceiving, lying, manipulating, and he came in a conniving, very subtle way. And he went to the woman. Why did he go to Eve? Because my friend Eve did not have complete knowledge of the truth. And you're like, how can this be? She had, if you will, received secondhand information. I don't know about you, when I was a kid, we used to play a game, it's called the Arab telephone. I don't know what they called it. Today's what, the Chinese telephone? But I don't know why in France we call it the Arab. Maybe because from village to village, in Arabia, that's how they communicated, I don't know. But the game was that the first person would come up with a phrase, maybe Peter bought a red car and he drove it at 150 miles an hour. I don't know. But then we would go to the next person just whispering in the ear, which she whispered in the ear and the next to her. And that went on all full circle. And at the end of the circle, the person out loud would say, Peter has a dog with a red collar and his dog ate 150 bones. I mean, I'm just being. And we would all laugh and laugh. Now, what happened? The first person knew the real thing, and as it was communicated, it was distorted. I'm saying that to say that Eve, when God spoke to Adam, Eve was not yet created. It says here in Genesis 2:16, God spoke and said, let us make man in our image. Let, you know, and he said, he gave the commandment to the man, thou shalt not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for the day you shall eat of it, you shall surely die. And the verse after that, I think it's verse 17, he says, and it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a partner comparable to him. So you cannot deduct that when God spoke the commandment to Adam, Eve was not created, which means that she had secondhand information, which means that she was weak. In John, I think it's chapter 2, verse 14, he says, you are strong, young men, because the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. So we can see right here that when someone does not have the word of God dwelling and abiding, and that don't know the truth, that makes you weak. And the devil is like a hyena. He'll always look for the weak person, the one who does not have the word abiding, living in their heart. And we see right here that the devil went to Eve and he said, oh, has God really said, thou shalt not eat of it? Oh, you know, the day you eat of it, you shall be like him. Well, the thing is, Eve was already like God. And listen to what she said. She said, oh, no, God said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it. Is that what God said? Bingo. That shows you that Eve had secondhand information, and she, whatever, you know, the Chinese telephone, she heard something different. And what happened is when Satan said, no, God is lying to you. And I paraphrase, God knows the day you eat of it, you're going to be like him. And she said, oh, no, you not eat it, neither shall you touch it. And he said, oh, no, God is lying to you. And what did she do? She touched the tree. And what happened? Nothing. And that emboldened her to eat of the fruit of the tree. And we know what happened. Then she gave some to Adam. But here is the thing. Did you notice that God turned to Adam and says, Adam, what did you do? And of course, Adam, that woman you gave me. And in other words, God, it's that woman's fault, but down the line, it's really your fault. Christian, when things don't work out, they always have the tendency. Oh, yeah, it's my pastor. Oh, it's you, God. Wrong approach. Thank you, sister. I'm going to preach over here. But it's amazing as we find out authority. God had given men authority to guard the garden, to protect the garden, to maintain order, to restrain evil. And the problem is Eve didn't know the truth. Adam stayed passive. And you know, in the body of Christ today, we see the same two problems. Things have not changed, nothing new under the sun. You got half of the body of Christ that doesn't know the truth, and they are weak in the spirit, easily duped, easily lied to and manipulated. Or do you have the other part of the body that might know the truth, but they are staying passive, waiting for God to do it all? Come on. When in reality, who received authority? Who is, and the Bible even calls us. He says, what is man that you are so mindful of him? You can't stop thinking about him. You have made him just a little lower than Elohim, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and you have put all things under his feet. And Jesus even said that we were made the little gods of this world with a little g. But we see the devil came, and what is interesting, because there was weakness on Eve's part because she didn't know the truth, and there was passivity on Adam's part. The devil obtained the authority. Because you see, what is authority? I love that Jesus said in Luke 10:19, I give you all authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We discover something, that the devil does have power. Power to manipulate, to lie, to deceive. Lied, and if he can, he has the power to kill, steal, destroy. But here is the good news. Jesus has given us authority, and authority is much more powerful, superior, and important than power. Jesus says, hey, I give you all authority over all the power of the enemy. You know, it's like a policeman. If you are maybe driving a big, if you're a man, you're driving, maybe you're a woman and you drive a big semi-truck. I don't know. But anyway, somebody is driving a big semi-truck. And here, how many of you know there is power under the hood? That semi-truck, man, can do damage. But then they come to an intersection and they see a little skinny, scroungy little guy in standing in the corner on the center, but he's got a uniform. He's got a badge. Hallelujah. He's got a little whistle, a little baton. And the moment he raises his hand, that big, mean, powerful semi-truck, what does it have to do?
Stop.
Why? Because he has more power? No, because he recognizes, no matter how much power he has, he recognizes that authority is far superior to his power. That is exactly what has been given to us, an authority that is far superior to the power of the enemy. But you see, that authority, my friends, can only be given or delegated. Authority has to be delegated. Man was deputized. And we see that the devil didn't come in the garden as a big mammoth, as a big elephant, to give me that authority. No, what did he do? He deceived. He lied. He manipulated. And we see that in Luke chapter 4 or in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was being tempted and the devil said, hey, you see all those kingdoms and their authority, I will give it to you if you worship me because these have been delivered unto me. Who delivered that authority unto Satan? Because 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that Satan became the god, little g, of this world. How did that happen? The devil didn't take the authority by force. Men gave it to him. Huh? Here again, because they believed the lie and because they stayed passive. Today is the same thing. If we do not know the truth or if we stay passive in face of evil, we run the risk and we yield our authority over to Satan and we don't even realize it. And then you're like, why are things not working? Check somewhere. How, where have you yielded your authority to Satan? Where has he manipulated, deceived, and lied? But you see, I always see people because it's so powerful. You see, God is a God of legality. God is a God of truth. God is a God of, you know, of covenant. He had a covenant with man right from the beginning. He had a covenant. He called him his son. He invited him. He gave him authority. He left him there on earth saying, you maintain order. You restrain evil. You guard, you keep, you protect. And then men didn't do it. The devil, by so, received that authority. But why is it that God did not intervene? Because we have that idea that God is all sovereign, right? God is sovereign. That means he can do whatever he wants, wherever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants. God is the creator. God is all-powerful. God is sovereign. Yeah. God is sovereign in the sense that he is above everyone and everybody. But God, my friend, is a God of legality. He's a God of covenant. He's a God that does things according to his word, and he will never break his word. He said, I'm not a man that I should lie, nor a son of man that I would change what comes out of my mouth. And God gave this earth and the authority to maintain order over to man. And so why did God didn't come back and say, take it back. Enough. Why? Because God gave his word. In Psalm 115 verse 16, he says, the heavens, yes, the heaven belongs to God, but the earth, he has given it to the Son of Man. It would be like me giving you my car, because I see you walk everywhere. And I said, you know what? I was thinking about buying a new car, so I'm going to give you, beautiful young lady, I'm going to give you my car. But I come back maybe to Naples a few months later, and I see you. You never clean the car. It's like a trash can on the inside with McDonald's wrappers and junk everywhere. You don't change the oil. And then you use your car as a bumper car to have fun on Saturday. Can I go to you and say, hey, you're not using my car properly. Like, hey, I'm taking it back. Come on, give me the... I can't. Why? Because I gave it. In the same way, God gave the earth to men, and he's not going to break his contract. He's not going to break his word. He's going to... You just have to say, okay. And here is how, from that moment, God spoke. And from that moment, God was looking for men and women whom he could use, through whom he could flow to do what he wants to do on earth, which is maintain order, restrain evil, do his will on earth. That's why Jesus said, pray that the will of God be on earth as it is in heaven. And that's why Jesus came as a man. Did you ever wonder why did God have to come back on earth as a man? The answer is simple. Man was the one who had received authority, and man was the only one that could take that authority back from the hands of the devil. But we had a problem because man was under the power of Satan. He had become a slave of Satan, subject to his doing. And so Jesus said, I have to become a man, because legally man had received authority, and legally man was the only one able or had a legal right to take back that authority. But he said, I'm going to have to come 100% God, holy, without sin, that will not be subject to the powers of Satan. But I will be 100% God, holy, but 100% man, who has legally the legal right to take the authority back. That's why Jesus did what he did. But you see, I love it that he did that to, so that he could once again, original plan, same place, a different time. Where, what did he do? Matthew 16, 19, he says, hey, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatever you will bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you're going to loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I read that verse in the Complete Jewish Bible. And you know what it actually means? I give you the keys. And keys represent, again, authority. I give you the keys of authority. And whatever you will allow here on earth will be allowed in the spirit, in the heavens. And whatever you will forbid here on earth will be forbidden in the spirit. Now, my friend, we're not talking about forbidding and allowing in the throne of God. We're talking about the second heaven, Ephesians 6:12, where Satan and his principality, the powers of darkness, are ruling and reigning. Ephesians 6:12, Paul says, we do not fight and wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principality, powers of darkness, dominion in the heavenly places. So when you and I, we exercise authority here on earth, notice it starts here on earth, then the spirits, the forces of evil are stopped. And then God, with his power, he reinforced the authority that we have exercised. That's what Jesus said in John. You know that chapter where we say, Jesus said in John 14, he said, the same work that I did shall you do also, and even greater work than this, because I'm going to the Father. And he says, and whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. And right here, my friend, he's not talking about asking the Father in Jesus' name for our needs. That is found in John 16, 23. Here, Jesus is talking about doing the same work than Jesus, which was preaching the gospel, healing the sick, setting free the oppressed. And that word, Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, in order to do the same work that I did. The word ask also means demand, command, require. We don't require from God, and we don't demand from God. We demand from the forces of evil that are trying to come and sow havoc here on earth, to try to rule, to dominate, to do things here. And so Jesus is showing us, hey, I'm giving you those keys back of authority that Satan lost. And so now you're going to have to command. to demand, to require in my name, and I will reinforce that authority you exercise. It's like a power of attorney. But problem again, like I said, half of the Christians stay passive, asking God, begging God to do something that God has commanded us to do. Did you notice that Jesus never told the disciple, go and pray for the sick? Go and ask the Father to free that person from a demon. No. What did Jesus say? You heal the sick. How? Just like Jesus did. By speaking the word, by commanding, demanding, requiring in the name of Jesus. Why? Because our authority is more powerful than his power.
Amen.
He has been stripped of all authority in the depth of hell. And Jesus rose up.
Amen.
And you know that authority, we can exercise it in so many different ways. We oftentimes think that authority is only exercised when we command a demon. And believe me, I've cast my share of demons. I don't wrestle with the devils. I don't spend hours commanding a demon to get out. I command one time in Jesus' name to get out of the person. Then I get that person born again. Then I get that person filled with the Holy Ghost in less than 5 minutes. And we all have that same authority. I don't have a superior authority and you have a minor authority. We all have the same authority, but we all have learned to use it in different ways, some more than others. And we have to start using it. And not only do we exercise authority by speaking to the problem, speaking to the sickness, speaking to the demon, but you know all through the day, do you know you are exercising authority? When you speak, even through a conversation, and you said, I tell you what, every time there is a virus going around, I tell you what, I'll get it. You know you've just exercised authority on earth. And in the spirit realm, you've given it permission to operate. And God can do nothing because you have the authority. I spoke about it in the first, but I'm going to speak about it on the second. When you cast a vote at the ballot, you exercise authority. Remember, the way we vote, when we cast a vote for such person or such candidate, we are either allowing evil to go forward or we are restraining the forces of evil. So my friend, that's a privilege we've been given in America. And I never thought I'd see the day. I mean, I've been in India, I've been in all kind of Burma, Vietnam, Indonesia, where elections are being all, you know what I'm talking about. I don't want to say the word because YouTube has a way of, but you understand what I'm saying. And it's the church. We are the restrainer. We are the one with authority, called, equipped by God, Almighty God, to restrain evil here on earth. And you know, do not be deceived. You can say, oh, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. And then you go to the voting booth and you vote for somebody who is pro-abortion, pro-LGBTQBE, and woke and all of that. Do not be deceived. You have allowed wickedness to come right here in this nation. That is why we are in a big mess. Because the church has not done her job in restraining. I cannot tell you, it's appalling to me to see believers that love Jesus, that love God, but they have no problem. Because I always said, you know how what I call that, the acid test of what is just and righteous and holy from that which is wicked and promotes unrighteousness. How do I know? Because you know, here is the thing, politician, they know how to talk the talk. Politician, it means many bloodsuckers. They know how to talk the talk. They know how to look good, how to be smooth, how to make you like them. They're expert at that. But you know what? The acid test, look, how do they stand on life? Because I look at the Bible and the Lord showed me that through the ages, the spirit of Antichrist operates in exactly the same way. When God sent a deliverer called Moses, what did the spirit of Antichrist do? Killed the children, killed the babies. When Jesus came on the scene, the deliverer, what did the spirit of Antichrist start to do? Kill the babies, kill the children. And my friends, we are towards the end of our lease here on earth. Jesus is coming back to take the earth back to rule and reign in righteousness. And what is the spirit of Antichrist trying to do? Kill the baby. You want to look at a candidate? Don't look at the appearance. God wants to see the heart. And what is the heart doing? Is that person standing for life or is he standing for death, which come from the father, the devil, who was a murderer from the very beginning? That is a true acid test. Go beyond the garbage, the flattery, the look good, the sound good, all the promises they don't keep. Go straight to the point. Justice, life, light. How do they stand on our babies? And I love Gideon. You know what Gideon, when God raised him up to deliver Israel, you know the first thing that God told him to do? To tear down the altars of Baal and Molech. Why? Because the God of Baal and Molech demanded that people sacrifice the babies on the altar. Things have not changed. And you and I have that authority. And we need to use it wisely. Go beyond the facade. Go to the heart like God. Perceive and see the one, the people that walk and that promote righteousness and justice and life. Oh, anyway, I need to unhook from that. But the bottom line is all of us, brothers and sisters, we are called to exercise our God-given authority every day of our life. And let me add a little more, because I know, you know, people, they say, well, I don't do abortion. I just voted for somebody, so I'm not guilty. I haven't done any abortion. I just voted because I like all the stuff. I like that, you know, he's going to give me a cell phone and he's going to, you know, give me this and that. Ho, 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 ho. You know? We've got to go beyond the surface and we've got to look at the heart. What is the agenda? What is the true motive? What is, and we are those, the church. We are supposed to be light, to be salt, to exercise our authority. And we, like I said, we exercise it in so many different ways. So many different ways. And people say, well, I don't do abortion. I just voted for somebody, so I'm not guilty. You remember at Jerusalem when they all cast their vote to see if Jesus was going to be crucified? They all cast their vote. Crucify him, crucify him. But technically, they did not crucify Jesus. The Roman did. But fast forward a little bit, when Peter was facing to the Pharisee, to the Jews, he says, you crucified the King of Glory. No, the Roman did. No, you cast your vote. So you're just as guilty as the Roman who put him on the cross. Okay. Is that okay, Pastor Grant? I am like, sure, Tata. You're going to clean up the pieces later, right? But you know, this is oftentimes the church is always giving up. God, you do it. God, you do it. And we cry, we want revival, but we are the revival. Isaiah 60 said, rise up and shine, for the light of the Lord has risen over you. We are the one. And how are we going to rise and shine? By restraining evil, by exercising authority, by what we do, by what we say. So this morning, if you hear this morning and there is a problem in your body, the devil has been attacking your body. You know, that's one of the things he likes to do, to make you sick so you feel like your life is on hold. And then I see a lot of Christians just praying and begging and sweating and snoring, you know, asking God to do it. When in reality, we have to stand up in our God-given authority and rebuke that sickness. You have authority over your body. Your body is your garden. Fathers, your family is your garden. Your wife, your kids, they're your garden. If you are a person in a place of authority, in the city is your garden. This is called jurisdiction. You don't have authority in my garden unless I give you the right and the permission. But anyway, if tonight I'm going to talk about how to effectively exercise that authority, what exposing the strategy of the devil to neutralize your authority. Because I hear Christian all the time said they know they have authority, but they exercise it and it doesn't seem to work. And they're like, I've exercised, I've rebuked, I've said, I've did, and it's not working. So tonight, we're going to talk about that. We're going to expose the strategy of evil that wants to neutralize your God-given authority. Amen. But today, this morning, if you need healing in your body, I'm going to give you an awesome opportunity to enter into your kingly duty, which is exercising authority. If you need healing in your body, just stand up. If you need healing in your body, just stand up. Now, I'm going to say something, please. I'm going to say it with love, but don't be offended at me. You know, in the book of James, James, was a pastor, said, is there any sick among you? Like it was going to be an exception. But you see what I'm talking about. A lot of the people in the church are sick because they have not understood how much authority they have and how to exercise it. But things are changing. Amen. Today you're going to see a breakthrough. Amen. Today you're going to see your authority working beautifully. So if this is how you're going to do it, you're going to stay simple. You're going to stay short. You're going to go right to the point. You're going to talk to the part of your body which needs healing. Example, if you have a heart problem, you'll say, heart, I command you to be healed in Jesus' name. Weakness, you must leave this body. Heart palpitation, you must stop. You must beat at the regular beating rhythm. You speak, if you have a problem with your knee, you say, knee, I command you to be healed in Jesus' name. I command you tendon, ligaments, muscles, nerves, kneecap, I command you to be healed in Jesus' name. Right now, I command you, pain, you go. Weakness, you stop. I command you to be healed. And then what do? You start getting up. You start moving. You start jumping. You start running. You start doing what you couldn't do before. And say, devil, take that. Watch me. Are you ready? On the first service, we had quite a few people that came back after me, says, man, I had pain here, I had pain there, I had pain everywhere, and no more. It's your turn. But here is the good news. When you start doing it, then there is going to be no stopping you. At home, anywhere and everywhere, you can exercise that authority and take and protect your garden. Protect your garden and start restraining evil in your life, in your family. Amen. Are you ready? Remember, don't ask God to heal you. You talk to your body with authority and don't go, Satan, dear Satan, get out of my body. He's going to laugh at you. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Come on, be bold, be strong, speak to your body.